I'm going to read from eighth chapter
of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 8 is Attaining the Supreme. And I'm going to read verse 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Is this sort of like our room?
Yes.
Oh, it is. That's really nice. Because I thought to put everything up so quickly just for... They don't use it. Okay. Is there a devotee who's the headmaster, principal?
Sort of favorable.
Okay. Yeah, it's nice. That photo of those girls sitting there, you see there's like six. That's from Cato Ridge? That's right. I remember when we had the school there. It's like 80, I don't know, three or four. Then it moved up to Mulder's Drift. Anyway, you know what, devotees? I'm going to read chapter 8, Attaining the Supreme, verse 9. Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anor aniyamsam anusparet ya. Sarvasya dataram achintya rupam aditya varnam tamasa parastat. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The process of thinking of the Supreme is mentioned in this verse. The foremost point is that he is not impersonal or void. One cannot meditate on something impersonal or void. That is very difficult. The process of thinking of Krishna, however, is very easy and is factually stated herein. First of all, the Lord is Purusha, a person. We think of the person, Ram, and the person, Krishna. And whether one thinks of Ram or of Krishna, what he is like is described in this verse of Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is Kavi, that is, he knows past, present, and future, and therefore knows everything. He is the oldest personality, because he is the origin of everything. Everything is born out of him. He is also the supreme controller of the universe, and he is the maintainer and instructor of humanity. He is smaller than the smallest. The living entity is 1/10,000th part of the tip of a hair. But the Lord is so inconceivably small enters into the heart of this particle of the tip of the ear. Therefore he's called small in the smallest. As the supreme, he can enter into the atom and into the heart of the smallest and control him as the super soul. Although so small, he is still all-pervading and is maintaining everything. By him, all these planetary systems are sustained. We often wonder how these big planets are floating in the air. It is stated here that the Supreme Lord, by his inconceivable energy, is sustaining all these big planets and systems of galaxies. The word achintya, inconceivable, is very significant in this connection. God's energy is beyond our conception, beyond our thinking jurisdiction, and is therefore called inconceivable, achintya. Who can argue this point? He pervades this material world, and yet is beyond it. We cannot comprehend even this material world, which is insignificant compared to the spiritual world. So how can we comprehend what is beyond? Achintya means that which is beyond this material world, that which our argument, logic, and philosophical speculation cannot touch, that which is inconceivable. Therefore, intelligent persons, avoiding useless argument and speculation, should accept what is stated in the scriptures like the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam, and follow the principles they set down. This will lead one to understanding. I hope that wasn't too complicated. Anyway, you know, there was a reason why I chose this verse. I was looking through here and there. I looked at a number of verses, but then I stumbled on this. And do you know why I chose this verse? Well, you probably, I imagine you don't know. Let me tell you. I chose this verse, devotees and friends, because this is the first verse I ever gave class on. It's okay. In 1973, yes, we were doing Traveling Sankirtan book distribution around England, and there was a group of four of us living in a van, more or less like a Hiace van, and traveling around and living and cooking and sleeping and everything. Well, we would take bath outside, but everything else we were doing in the van for months. I think it must have been about 3 months. So, I can't remember the date, but it was, I imagine it was more like March or April even, 1973, they asked me to give the class. And I'd never given a class before. Actually, I'd only been a devotee or living in the temple since January the 7th. So I'd been a devotee 3 months or four, maybe. 3 to 4 months. Yeah. Junior devotee. But they asked me to give class. So, I don't even know how I ended up reading this verse. Maybe it was just the next verse. But this was my verse. I read the verse. They asked me. And I thought, yes, of course. Why not? So then I read the verse, I read the purport, and then I started saying something, and I ran out of things to say after 10 to 15 minutes. And when I ran out, I was thinking, why am I running out of things to say? But I think reason was, at least, of course I hardly read anything, I hardly knew anything. I think I was overconfident in terms of thinking, I can do it. Of course I can do it, no problem. Instead of thinking that I'm just a new boy, and in order to give a class, I need lots of mercy, I should pray. I got a bit, what do they say, big for my boots. And I thought, yes, it's okay. Anyway, I don't know, but I hope I've learned that lesson now. We get reminded from time to time that Krishna's such an amazing person. Like the verses, let me just read the verse again. Kavim Purana Manushasita Rama Norani Yam Samanusmaredya Savasita Tara Machinchi Rupam Adityavarnam Tamasa Parastat. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. Is this little speaker thing helping?
Yes.
Yeah? It's better that we use it. Okay, no problem. All right. Yes, I was explaining about my experience, my first class. Yeah, it was a learning experience. You know, when I joined the temple before this, in January, on January the 7th, so some weeks or few months before this giving this class happened, First of all, I was just, you know, do whatever they ask me to do. So one day I do this, another day I do that, then the next day I do something else. And go out every day. We'd go out on Harinam Sankirtan. But my service, I didn't have a fixed service, like a regular responsibility. But then they gave me a responsibility. They made me the pot washer. Yes, and we had, you know, in the temple it was like 60 or 70, probably about 70 devotees, young people. The oldest person, like senior citizen, I think was less than 30. Maybe less than 25. But definitely less than 30. And so maybe 70 or 75 of us. And going out every day. Going out every day on Harinam in central London for hours. And you know, it's energetic work. So the devotees were not afraid to eat, you know, sufficiently. As a result, we had big pots. No, we had really good pots. I mean, really big pots. And a lot of them. And I had to wash them all. And we had no hot water. We had only cold water. In the middle of winter in London, and it gets cold there. You know, not that cold, but, you know, maximum 10 degrees, often 5, sometimes 0. So the water was cold. And on top of that, we were very poor. So we had no soap for washing the pots. Seriously. We just had like these Brillo pads. You know what a Brillo pad is? These metal type things. And I used to, boy, I tell you, it was not a small job. And they saw that it was very difficult for me. So they gave me an assistant. So I became the chief pot washer. Step up in the world. Responsibility. Okay. But the thing is, like I mentioned, we do have to, when we're doing any service, we really have to remember that Krishna is there and Krishna's everywhere. And Krishna's in every aspect of what's going on. So, like as says here, he knows everyone. He's the oldest, smaller than the smallest, maintains everything. Inconceivable, luminous, effulgent like the sun, and various other things. This is just a few characteristics. But he's bigger than the biggest. He's more beautiful than the most beautiful. I read in the news, or not long ago, that Miss South Africa became Miss World. Did you know that?
Yes.
You did? Okay. Krishna's much more beautiful than her. Krishna makes her, not just her, but, you know, she's meant to be something special, obviously. But Krishna makes her look like, you know, I don't know what you say here, but when I was young, we would say, plain Jane. Do they say that in South Africa? Anyway, just, yeah, just totally ordinary. You wouldn't look twice. You maybe wouldn't even look once. Yeah. So, but Krishna is more beautiful than Miss South Africa, or than the most beautiful. Yeah. Krishna has all these amazing characteristics, and Krishna is so special, and Krishna is so kind, and we are so small. Prabhupada mentioned here, 1/10,000th part of the tip of a hair. If you get a microscope, I imagine you can see, you know, magnified the tip of a hair. But even if you really magnify it, if you then cut it and just get 1/10,000th of that tip, that's going to be, I would say it is too small. It is too small to be meaningful. But Krishna is smaller. He is within that. Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that, what is it? Anyway, somewhere there he mentioned about Krishna being within the atom. Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. That's Brahma Samhita. Lord Brahma is speaking. And he says, Krishna is so small, he is within the atom. The atom meaning the smallest particle of matter. If you divide it down until you cannot divide further, that's the atom. But Krishna is so small, he's within it. So anyway, the thing is, Krishna is so special. And it's nice, you know, from time to time, to like maybe make up a list of things that Krishna is, special qualities, characteristics, features of Krishna, to remind us, because we are so prone to forget. It's completely chronic. It's worse than chronic. I'll give you an example. We were driving over here, and I was thinking, why are we coming to Unit 11? The Namahatta is in Unit 9. Because I went there. I came to this school in Unit 9. So either they moved the school, or I made a mistake. If I was proud enough, I hope I'm not, I would say, they must have moved the school. But I forgot. I've been here a couple of times, if I remember correctly. A couple of times. But I forgot. So, yeah, it's easy to forget. It's much easier to forget than to remember, usually. And to remember, well, Prabhupada said in Kali Yuga, good memory means write it down. Write it down. And once you've written it down, read over it. Yeah. Yeah, you know, they say that if you simply hear something, then, well, like, you know, some sort of amount of information, generally you may remember 7%. If you write it down, just write it down, you may remember 50%. If you write it down and then read over it from time to time afterwards, you may remember, they say, 93%. So we should do this from time to time. We need to remind ourselves of who is Krishna and what is Krishna. Otherwise, we'll end up sort of forgetting, at least to some degree, forgetting. And then Krishna, we will not really feel the appreciation that we should have for Krishna. And our Krishna consciousness will reduce. And you know what will happen? Some material consciousness will enter and take its place. We have so much space in our heads, right? Right? Literally, space. You can only fit so much in. But it's a space. And if you fill it up, you filled it up with Krishna. But if you empty, not empty, but if you remove some, then you've got some Krishna and just some space. But the way the material world works is that you cannot just have an empty space in your mind for long. It will get filled up by Maya. By Maya. Yes. So this is a recommendation. You know, when I was a new devotee, I'm still a new devotee, less than 50 years, I'm still a new devotee, only 47 years. What's that? You know, I had an interesting experience. I want to tell you about this in terms of, you could say, perspective. I was visiting Italy, say 10 years or some, even a bit more than 10 years ago. And the devotees took me to visit a Catholic monastery. They receive visitors and, you know, show people around. So one of the monks, I went dressed like this. You know, we were all there. There was a small group, five or six of us. And one of the monks showed us around. And he was an elderly man. You know, he was like plus or minus 70. And I asked him, how long have you been living here? And he was probably, he must have been more than 70, maybe he was around 80. And he said, 53 years. At the time I had been a devotee for, you know, if it's 47 years now, maybe, I don't know, 35. And he'd been living in the monastery 53 years. And I realized, yeah, I'm not as senior a person as I may think I am. Ha ha. What was I saying? Anyway, oh yeah, you know what I'm doing? What I, when I was a new devotee, around 1976, 77, 78 maybe, but particularly 76, I was reading Prabhupada's books every day, and I developed a program of taking notes whenever I'd come across something interesting, which was usually on every page, at least one thing, I'd write it down according to headings, not just a whole lot of stuff, just one after the other, the other, the other, but under specific headings. And I've still got those notes. And I'm going through them right now in the temple because I suddenly found I had some spare time and I didn't know what to do with it. I became bewildered, actually, because normally there's just pressure. There's always something you've got to do, just really got to do or else. But I found I had some spare time. And I'd been thinking of digitizing all of that because the pages are sort of aging. Some are getting eaten by insects. And yeah, it's okay. Usable still, but limited lifespan. So I'm doing that. Yeah, typing them into the computer. Well, they're all quotations. I just locate them in Prabhupada's books on computer and then arrange them. So it's a very good thing to do. And I recommend it to all you nice devotees. Because I'm looking around, I'm seeing you. Some of you I don't know, maybe. But most of you, at the least I've seen you around, almost everyone. Particularly Mrs. Bobby. You're initiated, though. What's your name now?
Dukirada.
Huh?
Dukirada.
Dukirada. What an interesting name. You understand? You must understand that name.
My feeling, I chose
them. You chose. But it's transcendental, Duke.
That's a feeling I have for you.
Separation from Krishna. All right. So I'm recommending to all of you, write things down. Write things down. Like I'm saying here about Krishna, different qualities and features of Krishna's nature, and read over it from time to time. It's really nice. And it really helps be Krishna conscious. So, you know, going back to that class, my first ever class in this lifetime at least, I had that sense of confidence, overconfidence, as a, you know, totally new person who'd never done it before. But I thought, yeah, okay. And it was nice, but it was just very short, and then I just ran out. Like the first time when we went distributing books door to door in London, I knocked on someone's door, I think in Chelsea or somewhere like that, Kensington. Knocked on a door, person opened the door, I stuck a Sri Ishapanishad into his hand, whack. He looked at it. I opened my mouth, and nothing came out. And I realized, I don't know what to say. Oh, Krishna. Anyway, I somehow said something. But it was an interesting experience, and the person took the book. But the thing is, Krishna has all these qualities. Krishna is so great. Krishna is just so great. Bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest, what can you say? Stronger than the strongest, more, perhaps, say, delicate than the most delicate, fragile. Yeah. What can you say? He's amazing. He's amazing. So we, as much as we're capable, we should try to appreciate this. Appreciation is a very important, you could say, emotion, would you say, or feeling, or just, yeah, sort of thought type of thinking to appreciate in life, and particularly in Krishna consciousness, to appreciate is just so important. And we should try to cultivate appreciation of beginning with Krishna, then, you know, Prabhupada, Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, all these great persons, and then down to all the members of ISKCON Unit 11. Seriously. We just did in Moscow, Russia. What was it? It was, I left there on the 3rd. So it was the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of this very month. We did a seminar on humility. Yeah, humility. And at the end, we do what we call an appreciation exercise. The devotees are in groups. We have them discuss different aspects of humility and their problems in being humble, and they get advice from each other how to become more humble. We don't just sort of lecture at them, but we get them to discuss and come up with ideas in groups for 3 days. Then at the end we do what we call an appreciation exercise. Means in your group, everyone must speak an appreciation of everyone else. And it's really nice. You should try it sometime. It's just really nice. And the devotees, some of them cry, happy, not dukhi, but sukhi. They cry, and at the end we get them all to embrace each other. So appreciation, we should develop, like you could say, a habit, might you say, a practice of appreciating the devotees, Krishna. And this verse and purport, it's a very good sort of launching point, because Krishna is saying here some of his most prominent special qualities. Yeah. Special qualities. So like I said, when you get a bit of spare time, why don't you think about it? Make up a list. See what you come up with. And then you can compare them if a few of you do it. And then you can take some, you know, appreciations from the other devotees' lists. Because to appreciate, it's like connected with gratitude. Appreciation, gratitude, they're kind of like brothers, sisters, relatives like that. Yeah, and if we appreciate Krishna, the more we appreciate Krishna, the more we will appreciate, meaning understand, that we shouldn't be proud. That, I mean, we all have some abilities and things. You know, we can all read, I imagine. Some people can't read. It's an ability. We can all speak. Different things we can do. We have these different abilities. But Krishna, what does Krishna have? Let me tell you one of his abilities, which we should try to begin to appreciate. It's so great that you just, you know, it's as Prabhupada says here, the main quality he discusses is inconceivability. How Krishna's, at least in many ways, beyond us. What was I saying? Yes, yeah, ability, right, that's it. It's in the 10th canto. It's in the 14th chapter. The first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam done after Prabhupada stopped and then left this world. He finished the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. So there's some talk about Krishna's qualities, and there's a comment in the purport from Srila Sanatan Goswami, one of the great acharyas. He makes the point that Krishna has an unlimited number of qualities. If we read Nectar of Devotion, which I hope we do sometimes, there's a list of 64. But they're just 64 types of qualities or categories. They're like headings under which there are many subcategories, if you follow. And it's unlimited, actually. And Sanatana Goswami makes this point. Just think about this. Consider this. That Krishna has all these qualities, but Krishna reserves for each individual one special quality that he never exposes to anyone else except that one devotee. Did you get the idea? Like here, sitting in our room, we have, I don't know, 40 or 50, whatever, some number of us, let's say 40. So for each one of us, Krishna has one special quality, means very special, not just some sort of, you know, not very, like something inconsequential, but some super amazing quality, which he only reveals to Nayana Gopi. It's her there, by the way. Yeah. And then Krishna has another quality, and that quality he doesn't reveal to you. You see, only to her. But then he reveals, he has another quality which he reveals only to you and not to her and not to anyone else. It's big, isn't it? How many living entities are there? It's not zillions or quintillions or dectillions. It's just totally beyond. So, the qualities of Krishna. But at least we should try and appreciate as much as we can. Because Krishna reveals himself in different ways to his devotees. But one of the qualities that we should appreciate, and it's really important, is how we are dependent on Krishna for doing things, for example, for achieving goals. And just for anything, even just breathing, we're dependent on Krishna. Because, as we know, in due course, at a certain point, Krishna will withdraw our ability to breathe, and we will not be able to breathe, and we'll die. Yeah. So, appreciating Krishna, and how we're dependent on Krishna, and how we shouldn't think like I thought when I was giving my first class, that, yeah, no problem, okay, I'll give a class. But rather, I should have thought, and I try to think now, that, you know, I pray to Krishna, and I pray actually to Srila Prabhupada, to please help me say something that may be of value and helpful for the devotees. We should really try to appreciate Krishna in that sense. I mean, among many other things, but in the sense of how we are dependent on Krishna in terms of our abilities to do things. Because we're all trying to do things all day, every day. Even sleep. You know, some people cannot sleep, insomniacs. It's because it's not just one of those things, just, you know, such as life. Krishna has not given them the ability to sleep. So, yeah, all these abilities that we have, be it to say something, hopefully as nice as possible, or maybe cook something as nicely as possible, or, you know, to do business, or literally anything. The ability is coming from Krishna. And Krishna actually says it in Bhagavad Gita, I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Which includes women, yeah, means humans. Yeah, Krishna is the ability in people. And therefore, if we have some ability, we should, in this mood of appreciation and gratitude, we should remember the fact that it's being given or loaned to us by Krishna. And in due course, it will be withdrawn. Yeah. In due course, it'll be withdrawn. Our intelligence, when we die, that means, you know, we, or at least the body, loses intelligence, loses vitality, consciousness. So it's a very important part of Krishna consciousness. And you know what? You know what? If we really take shelter of Krishna like this and try to appreciate how he is giving us our intelligence, our capabilities, and all these things that we're utilizing in our lives, if we really understand that, accept that it's not just me, it's not just that I'm intelligent, but it's that Krishna's giving or loaning me intelligence. If we really try to appreciate like that, really, then Krishna will give more. We have a tendency to think that I have, you know, I can do this and that, but I can't do something else. I have certain abilities, shall we say, but they're limited. At a certain point, you know, I come to the point where I can't do more. But, you know, if we develop this mood of dependence on Krishna and appreciation of Krishna, because He is giving us whatever abilities, intelligence we're able to utilize, if we get into the right mood, He can give us more. And we'll be surprised. How did I do that? Like, I'll give you a very practical example. Distributing Prabhupada's books. Yeah. Distributing Prabhupada's books. When I first went out, it was a good day if I distributed 10, it was like 5 to 10 in a whole day. 5 to 10 was normal. 10 was quite good. And there was one devotee, he would do 20 almost every day, and I was thinking, how does he do that? But then, you know, we tried, we prayed, and we really prayed, and then we really prayed. And you know what happened? After I'd been doing it a few years, like say three to four years, we were doing 100 books a day. In the 10 books a day days, I would never have thought 100 books, that's crazy. It's totally out of the question. And the most I ever distributed in a day was 350. So, no, it's okay. Yeah. But Krishna can give us so much ability that we will surprise ourselves. But actually we should understand it's Krishna. It's Krishna. So we need to cultivate this sort of mood in our lives. An awareness of the greatness of Krishna and how Krishna is helping us do everything, including breathe. Yeah. Prabhupada once, a devotee asked Prabhupada about something. Do I have to do this, Prabhupada? You know, do I have to do it? And Prabhupada said, well, you don't have to breathe if you don't want to. Which is true, if you don't want to. Do something like that, I don't know. Yeah. So this is a nice verse. And just see, I said more about it tonight than I did 47 years ago. And I just did a time check and I don't want to go on too long. So, but it's just very interesting. You know, I'm finding this verse and purport are just opening up a whole vista of appreciation and understanding of Krishna, which, you know, you could easily actually write a book about, rather than just say something for half an hour or so. So let's try and do it. Anyway, it's just my suggestion. It's up to you. But you could try doing a little research or just thinking about qualities, characteristics of Krishna, and write them down and see what you come up with and read over it. And then try and get into this mood. You know, this particular point I kind of focused on about the class back in those days and how I became overconfident, and I should have appreciated that it's Krishna who's supplying some understanding and knowledge. That's a really important one. That's a really important one. We should really pray to Krishna that, Krishna, I know I'm a fool, but the problem is I'm such a fool, I cannot understand how much of a fool I am. Anyway, so Krishna, please help me to understand. Little bit, not too much. When I was a new devotee, we did this as an exercise once. There was a group of us new devotees. Let's pray to Krishna that, you know, I want to understand how fallen I am. Yeah, how unqualified I am. And so we tried to pray like that. One boy came back a few days later and said, you know, I stopped praying to Krishna like that because he was showing me too much. And I just couldn't take it. I was getting depression. So there you have some thoughts on this verse, and take it home with you, and now it's yours. See what you can do with it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki. Gaur Premanande.
He is only Gopi Chaitanya Swami ki.
Aplok sab ki. I don't know how to say it in Tamil. All of you ki. I've learnt a few words of Tamil, by the way.
We were in Tamil Nadu, actually a little over a year ago. You know how to greet people in Tamil. You know, in English, what do we all say in South Africa? How are you? You know what you say in Tamil? You know? Saukiyama. Try it. Next time you meet someone who actually speaks Tamil. Anyone here speak Tamil? Saukiyama. How are you? And the answer, Saukiyam, means I'm okay. Saukiyama, Saukiyam. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So now,